Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 41 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host as always. Today we have a great guest, Amin Romani from MarketCircle.com. For those of you who are avid listeners, you'll recognize that Market Circle is one of our sponsors for the show, although they're not going to be sponsoring this particular episode because we're going to spend the whole time talking about them anyway. So let me talk then a little bit about Spotlight Branding, who is sponsoring the show today. Spotlight Branding, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. As you know, they built a great website for me, and they also use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. You can visit them at spotlightbranding.com, www.spotlightbranding.com, and they're even offering a free gift for Law Entrepreneur podcast listeners, which you can access specifically by going to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlight Branding, love them. They've been with us for a long time. So make sure you go visit them. Hey there, I'm Amin Romani. Welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you, Neil. Great to be here.
I'm happy that you are. I've mentioned to our audience already, Amin is with Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. And as we've said, as a full disclosure here, Daylight is, or Market Circle is a sponsor of the show, although they are not sponsoring this specific show. So we have an opportunity to chat with Amin about Daylight and also about Market Circle's other product offering, Billings Pro. So Amin, before we get started on that, give our audience a little insight into your background and how you came to be associated with Market Circle.
Sure. Well, this is actually my 12th year with the company. I started back in 2004 when we were in the Daylight version 1 range. So I've got quite a few tours, as I like to put it, in Daylight in terms of versioning. But originally, I was brought on when we were quite small. We were about, I think we were 4 or 5 people back then. And now we're around 34, 35, hovering around that number. I came from a sales background. I used to work in the car industry. So at the time I started at Market Circle, I was just doing straight sales over the phone. I will just share one little thing that I noticed right off the bat, which kind of kept me in the industry. I love cars. I love people. I love to be in front of people. So sitting at a desk didn't really appeal to me, but the job sounded good, so I went into it anyway. But right after I started talking to people on the phone and realizing that I was speaking to a very entrepreneurial, very forward-thinking, kind of interesting cross-section of customers, that's what really kept me going all these years. And it's been awesome ever since.
Well, it's interesting because I think while you're dealing with and talking to entrepreneurial spirits, Daylight, my Market Circle, very much was an entrepreneurial startup in an area, frankly, at the time, wasn't as potentially lucrative as it is now. Back in the day, back in Daylight One's time frame, there was no iPhone. Apple was struggling to get a toehold in the personal computer market. And for people like yourselves who took a chance in developing a Apple-only application, it was really an entrepreneurial jump.
That's right. And foresight is something I definitely didn't have back then. when the person who approached me used to work with me at the dealership and then started working for AJ, who's the owner of Market Circle. His name was Ali Dea, and Ali was basically trying to paint this picture of what Market Circle was and how it fit into the whole Apple market and what the Apple market really where it was in general. And I had no clue about any of this. I was into computers for a long time. My dad was selling PCs for the last, I want to say 14 years before that. So I always had one step up on everybody in terms of computers, but I had no knowledge of the Mac market. And I was just trained by my dad at the time to say, you know, the Mac market is, or I should say that Macs are too expensive or they're too hard to service, so on and so forth. But what these guys were telling me was that we're on the cusp of something and that we found a niche. And this niche is basically CRM on the Mac, which doesn't exist. And here we are to fill that gap. And as the years went on, the more people I talked to, the more I was able to help them implement Daylight, the more I understood where we fit into the whole thing and where the Mac market was actually going.
Yeah, at the time when I was starting my solo practice 10 years ago, I looked around. I knew that I was going to run my business in an Apple environment because I'm an Apple fanboy from the very first, you know, 128K Mac. And I looked around for what software is there to run a law firm on that will run on a Mac. And unfortunately, at the time, there was literally zero applications. I had run two previous businesses using an application called FileMaker Pro, which is a relational database. And I flirted with the idea, well, could I run my law practice in FileMaker Pro? It meant I would have to essentially roll my own sort of application, build my own database tool using that application. Or is there a product out there that I can adapt and use to satisfy the needs of a law firm? And that's when my attention was drawn to Daylight. And as you said, largely my first view of Daylight was as a customer relation management tool, but it's so much more than that then and even more so now. And that's what brings us here today to talk about it. So what I'd like to do, is... In my view, there are three main areas that maybe a fourth that Daylight provides to its users, and that's contact management number one, calendar management number two, task management three, and then I put in a fourth category, projects or opportunity management. You may think of that as a subset of tasks or a subset of contacts, but maybe it stands alone as a fourth area. So we'll treat it for right now as a fourth. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about each one of those areas, how Daylight implements that strategy or what their strategy is for implementing in that area. And then we'll talk about how we tie these together to manage a law firm. Does that sound all right? All right. So let's talk about contacts for a moment. You know, there's a lot of contact management software out there. And in fact, in the Apple ecosystem, they have their own contacts application, which runs across all platforms. Tell us a little bit about how Market Circle implements contact management in Daylight and maybe some of the differences or some of the similarities or expansions upon what's available in the native Apple environment.
Sure. One of the things And part of the reason I'll mention this is because I think it comes into play later. One of the milestones that I appreciate having worked here is the milestone of having met or been introduced to the legal market or the legal space inside the Mac using Audience. So I'll come back to that a little bit later. But so in relation to contacts, you know, there's certain things Daylight's done really well for quite a long time, and I think contacts is really at the heart of it. I wouldn't say it's our bread and butter feature, but it's certainly the lifeblood of any company, is the people you deal with, the people you do business with, the people, you know, that you compete with, so on and so forth. So that's one of the things I think Daylight's done really well. And there's certain ways that it achieves this through really kind of extensive categorization and what we call keywords. Another word for that is tags. Being able to really customize which buckets your contacts fill into. And there's reasons why you would do this, but we'll explore those in maybe in the CRM portion of it or in the marketing portion of it. And the other thing that really kind of shines and I think is important for any good system to have is the ability to really link these important people to the various activities, the various objectives that are going on in your firm or in your company. And a really small example of that is the relationship that a person has with a company. I think still a lot of contact managers don't get this right, where they think that a company is really just a field within a contact record, like company name. But that's not true. It's its own entity. So if you have these as separate records, then you can define, you know, who are the people that work there? What are their roles? What are their titles? How do you address them in correspondence versus what do they actually do in a language that I can easily understand? What ways do you have to contact these people? Should there be a limit on the number of phone numbers and email addresses and physical addresses that you can capture? These are all areas where I think, you know, we've tried to make it as easy as possible to identify who people are in your database and be able to find them quickly.
Yeah, and I think it's a really important aspect of contact management, aside from just keeping track of name, address, phone numbers, email, and the like. The categorization, adding categories and specifying keywords or tags for each of those contacts gives you almost an unlimited ability to slice and dice your contact database. So, for instance, in my legal practice, my contacts are, I have categories like active client, former client, potential client, you know, on the client side, and attorneys, insurance adjusters, judges, doctors, medical people, I mean, all different types. And so I'm able to look at that database and analyze it and perform operations on it in far greater detail with greater specificity than I could in, say, some other tools.
That's right. And, you know, in dealing with all of these contacts, like once you've got them segmented, what happens is you're busy working with these people, you're corresponding with them, you're doing things for them, they're doing things for you, you're meeting with them. You know, there's all kinds of activities happening, emails are being exchanged, and they're happening in all different places. And so another thing that, you know, any good system needs to be able to do, I think, is to be able to gather all that activity information and put it into one place where you can view it all, at least the way we approach it, chronologically, and just be able to search through for keywords that potentially can help you find a piece of history that may have happened way back in 2008, which is relevant now. So I think that contact history is also another element of contact management.
And I will tell you that every single person that I literally come across in my law practice goes into my Daylight database. So for instance, if I'm doing a family law case, I put the defendant's name or the plaintiff, as the opposing side, in that database. Even though I don't anticipate corresponding or contacting them, I put them in there for, among other things, conflict management, conflict checking. So if I get somebody down the road who comes to me and I find out that they were, they were a defendant in a case that I had 8 years ago, I want to know that information. So literally every single person that I come in contact with respect to my law practice goes in the database. And I think that's kind of actually something that a lot of attorneys don't do. They may just simply put the contacts that are most important to them, you know, their clients, their, you know, people that they deal with routinely, as opposed to everybody they see. It's a little more work on the front end, but you only have to do it once.
Yeah, I find maybe I can relate this to, now I'm going to expose one of my own weaknesses as a human. But, you know, I'm a bit of a pack rat. My dad's a bit of a pack rat. So I tend to keep everything. I'm not as bad as he is. But, you know, daylight can be the same way, or any system really can be the same way. You can fill it with a lot of junk. I'm the type of person that likes to enter as much as possible, because when my brain feels mushy, then I can have, you know, daylight remember for me. But at the same time, I think there's enough organizational tools in there that you can clean, with a pretty clean strategy, put all of the information into places where they'll be there when you need them, but not interfere with your daily activities. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I have a friend of mine who likes to refer to it as outsourcing his brain power. Because if you're able to capture that information in a tool that you can have with you all the time, then you don't have to spend any brain power, you know, trying to remember, you know, where this piece of information or that for a particular person is located. Let's move on let's do calendaring next, because I think contacts and calendaring are probably the two big ones. So again, you know, I'm going to talk in a little while about how I merge or how I use daylight in conjunction with the native Apple tools. But clearly, Apple has a calendaring function across their platforms, and daylight has a similar one tied into their product. So let's talk about how daylight implements calendaring.
Perfect. Okay. So I think early on, one of the things that struck me was the fact that the calendar and the contact manager are not separate applications. And many years ago, and in some cases still today, with some apps, you find that these are separate applications trying to work together as best they can. And I mean, our approach really was, well, when we say everything in one place, true, we don't mean everything, but we do mean the things that you have to do on a daily basis. Your schedule needs to be connected to the people that are on your schedule. So that's the first thing, is integration between the calendaring and the contact management part of it. Just like with your contacts, you want to have different buckets. I think it's important for your calendar to be able to differentiate the different types of appointments that you have, whether it's a meeting, whether it's a discovery, whether it's you know, first client, first time interacting with a client, whether it's this podcast. It's nice to be able to color code and segment your appointments in such a way that you can easily tell them apart and prepare for them as such.
Yeah, I think that's really key. And because it's all connected, as you say, under one platform, I can go to the calendar in Daylight, and I can double-click on an appointment. And in there, I see that the appointment is linked to a specific individual, a client or a potential client, which I can then, you know, drill down even further and can get that contact information for that individual. Also, in the appointment or the calendar event, I can link files and add notes and take a history of that meeting and link it to the actual calendar event. And so I always have that information at my fingertips. And I think that is critically important for law firm management.
Absolutely. And I'm really glad you mentioned those two items, Neil, because they really tie into, you know, when we talk about solos and then when we talk about small law firms, you know, 2-3 people. As soon as you start adding multiple users to the equation, multiple people in the office, then the dynamics change a little bit. Now sharing becomes important. And a lot of times the ways that we share things can actually clutter up a person's day. You know, a lot of times it's forwarding and CCing and BCCing or printing stuff, and then your desk becomes a mess. So certainly being able to just link digitally anything that's important about this meeting to that appointment, so that all the other people that have to be there can ahead of time review these items and come prepared. I think that that's a time saver, not just for the individual running the meeting, but anyone else that's involved in it.
Exactly. So to put that kind of in a real world perspective, if you have a meeting that has an agenda, you can, you know, type up that agenda, make a note of it, attach that note to the appointment event in the calendar, and then disperse that calendar event to multiple users in your work environment, so that everybody has the agenda to work off of.
Exactly.
And you don't have to pass it around. You don't have to send it via an email. It's tied right there into the event. I also put all the location data in there so that I know where I'm going and how I'm going to get there, and tie that in as well.
That's right. And there's an interesting plugin actually that helps you kind of map out your location, where you're going, and what, you know, some of the other people in the area might be that you'd like to see. But actually, on this specific thing that you mentioned, since we're talking about linking relevant pieces of information to the meeting, and not having the meeting just be, you know, when and where and the traditional stuff, you know, as you're having the meeting, a lot of times there's actionable things coming up and somebody has to take minutes or, I don't know, say, hey, remind me to do this, remind me to do that. I mean, the beautiful thing about working within an appointment record in Daylight is that you can create tasks from that appointment as you're having the meeting. So these are tasks that they don't just go into a black hole. They can be pre-assigned to the people that have to do them. So, you know, if Mary says, hey, you know what, don't worry, I'll take care of it, I'll call the client, you can easily create that as a task for Mary right away while you're in the meeting. And then you know what the source of that task was.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say, because and you know that that task originated from the meeting that you held with Mary.
Exactly right.
Yeah. All right. So calendaring works very robustly. And I think, you know, it's not that much different from other types of calendaring applications, except for the fact that it's built into the Daylight application, and you can connect it with all the other pieces of Daylight. So now we've talked a little bit about calendaring, and it kind of segued into tasks. Mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and deal with tasks now, and how the task management system is implemented in Daylight and dovetails with all the above.
So tasks are a really interesting one, because you've got a lot of people like to do tasks in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of thought methodologies out there, and interestingly enough, again, because of being able to tag tasks, we can a lot of those practices. So the one that really comes freshest in my mind is David Allen's Getting Things Done. You know, he talks about being able to do a brain dump, getting all the ideas and thoughts out of your head, you know, being able to put these into, process them and put them into the relative buckets that they need to go to, and a bunch of other things. So you can definitely take methodologies that are out there and start to build those into your task. At the end of the day, we consider a task as a to-do for one person to accomplish. So there's an owner. A task is assigned to somebody so that they're the owner of it. They're accountable for it. You have your traditional things that you might need, like a due date, start time, so on and so forth. But getting back to kind of the thing that makes the calendar appointments important and the things that makes the history is being able to link that task to other things. If it's, for example, related to an ongoing matter, you can link the matter to the task. That's the most simple thing you can do, is to just say, okay, you know, now that I'm at my task list and here are the, let's say, 12 tasks that I need to do today, what is this about again? You know, if it's a really busy day, you can easily forget. So being able to link the matter or the last conversation in an email, or even the appointment, the meeting, as you said, that it originated from. I think those are all things that make tasks really powerful in Daylight.
Yeah, I will share with you how I use tasks in a management setting. So, for instance, when I have a case, as an example, and I get a scheduling order from the court, I go through the scheduling order and for that case, create tasks for every event on the scheduling order that's not necessarily a meeting or an appointment. So for instance, if there's a discovery due date or a service by date or a request date, I create a task and have that date as the due date. And then it lines up in the case, and I can see everything that has to occur in order to support then the appointments of that case. So a hearing date would be an appointment. A trial date would be an appointment. So I have the combination of tasks and appointments are used to, at least initially, implement the scheduling order for a litigation matter. Now, on top of that, there's a whole bunch of other tasks to support each of those events or each of those due dates. And I use, I create a task as needed to do that and link them to the appropriate either event, task, and or project.
And do you find yourself creating task lists often? I mean, different lists for different activities?
As opposed to using the built-in kind of displays of the tasks?
In other words, do you find that you need to group certain tasks together? Maybe that's a better way to ask it.
Yeah. So for instance, I'll have a list that says discovery events that are coming up or discovery tasks that need to be done. So I could look at all those. And sometimes that means that I'm going to offload those to somebody else, right? Like my virtual paralegal, or it just means that I can batch a couple things up and do them in a most efficient manner. So things like that, yes.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. And that kind of alludes to workflow and having, 20, 30 tasks probably more accurately bucketed into three or four different groups. And they all kind of relate to each other. So that's an area where I think workflow and process comes into play.
Yeah, it does. And I think I want to table that just for a second, because at least in my practice, and I think that's true for a lot of attorneys, workflow is a little bit dependent on the time, on the practice area. So in a litigation practice, I have a different workflow than I do for my trust and estates practice. And Daylight supports both, and I want to talk about how we do that. So let's get a few more of these fundamentals down here. And I think the last one, this is the one I struggled with, is this a primary area or not? But I think it is. We've talked about it. The idea of projects and or opportunities. Now, in my case, projects equal a legal case.
Right.
A project doesn't take on the status of a project until I have a retainer agreement in place, and that's a matter that my firm is responsible for. Prior to that, it's an opportunity. So can you talk a little bit about those two things?
Definitely. I'll start with... Okay, a couple of years ago, I might have started with projects, but I'll start with opportunities. And that's because when I first started interacting with people in the legal space, I realized that opportunities was really the last thing you want to mention. No attorney saw that as a chance to attain a client. And I think we weren't very good at explaining it at the time. So it sounded like a very salesy tool. And most attorneys would say, well, I'm not a salesman. We don't do sales here. And, we're not going to use this feature. So we very quickly stopped talking about opportunities at all. And now we went straight into projects because that kind of is better suited to cases, matters, things like that. But now that I think the concepts of CRM and those types of feature sets have become more important, and because of the amount of noise that's out there, people are hanging on to the information surrounding people that have kicked the tire, so to speak. If you have a chance to have a new client, even if they just came in or just called in, it's, I think, important to at least log that information. And so when we talk about opportunities in Daylight, we always thought of them not as a sale, but as a chance to win new business. And so if you think of like personal injury, where there's a lot of competition and you really kind of have to go after the business, you definitely want to keep track of anybody you've interacted with that was even remotely interested. And there's always different ways to gauge that interest level. But it's nice to know that you can identify, a lot of people will say like warm, cold, hot. Other people will have definitive milestones, like they've come in and you've seen them in person, so it shows that they're serious. Another one I think you mentioned just a moment ago was it only becomes a project when, what was the situation?
When the retainer agreement is signed.
Right. So all of these requirements kind of become, I'll use the term stages because that's what we use internally in the system. These are stages, moving them along from just an inquiry through to a repeat client, you know, at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah, well, let me explain how I'm using opportunities and projects, and that'll put a little more flesh on the bone here. So, an opportunity is anybody who contacts my firm. And so it's important, for instance, in a litigation standpoint, and you see this often, not oftentimes, but enough to make it worrisome, in a family law environment, people call around and they want to talk to a family law attorney and get their impression on, you know, how to approach a case. Well, I put that down as an opportunity and I create a contact for that opportunity. It's a pre-litigation opportunity. Definition in my system. And because I want to know if the spouse then comes to me 2 days later and starts to talk about an opportunity, and I find out what's the other spouse's name, and I go into my system and I find out I've already opened an opportunity with that spouse's name, I can now put my hands up and say, I'm sorry, I can't really talk to you if I've had, you know, a substantive conversation with that person. So from a litigation standpoint, opportunity is a pre-litigation scenario. And it also, I will then add the task to generate the retainer agreement, call and follow up on whether they got the retainer agreement. So it's all those things leading up to the point of when the client has signed the potential, the retainer agreement, and then that opportunity becomes a project. Now, in the estate planning world, estate planning is a little different because there's no real external event driving the client to your office to do estate planning. So it does have a little more of a sales feel to it. So there is, you know, a lead up of contacts and interaction with an individual before they make that decision that they want to retain you to do an estate plan. So that's a estate planning opportunity that eventually becomes an estate planning project. And that's how I make the difference between the two.
Right. And I think you highlighted a really important thing there, which kind of loops in or ties in the previous stuff we were talking about, is that you create an opportunity and then you link the person that you have the opportunity for. And then you spoke about linking a second person, potentially, the spouse, for example. These are actually the tools that make these features the most powerful. I mean, or they're the things that augment, you know, just from having a bucket where you can put, you know, all the details of a potential client into, in a way that you can actually identify who they are in relation to the opportunity, because it's very possible that the source might be from a referral. So it's a way for you to say, you know, Bob referred Mary, and Mary is linked to this opportunity. And if I look back at Mary, this is where she came from. She came from Bob. So that's kind of really the power of linking, is to establish these connections between things. Even from the transition that you highlighted from an opportunity becoming a project, when you're working on this case, if you want to know what was discussed early on when it was not even, you know, when it was not even clear whether you'd take the case or not, all the history is still there. It's linked to the opportunity.
Yes. Well, listen, I mean, I think we've talked about most of the features here, and in the process of doing so, I think we've also touched upon the main roles that daylight plays, at least in my firm, and I think, you know, potentially for any other attorney who's considering using it. First and foremost, there's, as we said, contact relationship management, CRM. Clearly, you know, those features are important in daylight. I also use it for case management, tying projects to cases and linking all those contacts, events, calendars, items, and have all the case management information in one spot. And then lastly, as we just talked about, it really is a marketing tool that helps me keep track of who I've had contact with and how I move them through essentially what is a sales funnel to becoming a retained client. Are those the roles that you see attorneys using Daylight for primarily?
Yeah, that pretty much covers it. I think the bigger the firm gets, the more they might loop in, things like being able to keep track of billable time relating to a particular case or matter. But for the most part, those are the core elements that I think space are supposed to cover.
Yeah, I think there's one other area as I was going through that I don't take advantage of simply because I'm a true solo. But I think staff management is built into all of those items. So you can delegate tasks, invite people to meetings, share information across your staff without having to go to an external tool. You can do it all within Daylight. So I think that's probably a fourth area.
That's very true. So we can, I guess, maybe use the umbrella of collaboration there. And really, it's amazing how much you can benefit as a solo practitioner. But really, once you start adding the first, the second, the third employee, and you start to collaborate within the same application, I think that's where you start to really see, especially when you add the mobile element of, you know, iPhones and iPads and watches and stuff. And as you said, the delegation features, though, that's when you start to really benefit from, I guess, a system of this kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think we could probably spend the rest of the day talking about Daylight. I'm conscious of the time here. So let me just also indicate that Daylight, I just took advantage, as listeners know, if they've been listening to the previous couple of episodes, of moving my Daylight database up into the cloud. So now those resources, that information is available to me across all of my Apple platforms, my iPad, my iPhone, MacBook Air, my iMac on the desk, and even my watch. So that, to me, is a tremendous new step for Market Circle to be able to offer Daylight in the cloud.
Definitely. And I think the key thing to highlight here, and, you know, usually I don't pick the technology route when I want to highlight a something special about an application, but I will in this case because it really applies to attorneys. The fact that you have a cloud app with Daylight that has all of your data saved locally and isn't only dependent on the internet when it needs to sync, I think is one key benefit and differentiator from most other applications that are web-based where you always need internet, otherwise you can't access your client data. So we kind of give an iCloud-like experience in that regard, if I can say that, because we have locally stored data with beautiful native apps, and then, you know, all your cloud data is syncing in the background. And when you're in a courtroom, maybe one of the old ones, maybe even a couple of floors down below the ground, you know, that's when when you don't necessarily have to worry about searching for signal, because hopefully all that stuff is synced locally to your device.
Really important point. I'm glad you brought that up. We could spend more time talking about activity sets and pipelines and reporting and a whole bunch of other advanced features of Daylight, but I think we'll leave that for a little bit. I want to, in this last couple of minutes I'm in, give a little bit of time to chat about Billings Pro, which is another offering from Market Circle. And I will share with you that when I first started using Daylight, way back in Daylight 3, I also started using Billings Pro, but I wasn't able to use it as much as I could have, principally because at that time I was doing mostly personal injury law, which was all contingency fee based. So I didn't have a real need for Billings for doing invoicing and tracking my billable time. That's changing now. So talk to us a little bit about Billings Pro, what it offers, and how it might integrate with Daylight in a legal setting.
Sure. I'll start with the use case, because I think a lot of people, actually, it still amazes me how many people are using paper and pen to keep track of billable time. And that's fine. And what happens beyond that is, let's say the need goes from paper and pen to an Excel spreadsheet. Oh, you know, in other words, here's a shared place where we can all put our billable time. What I find is how amazing it is how much billable time actually falls through the cracks when you do that. Because the more I've interacted with people in the legal space, the better I understand the billing rates. This is from an outside perspective looking in. It makes me understand how the volume of work involved and how important it is to track every billable minute that goes into it. And when you don't have a system in place, I find that you start, you know, little bits can fall off. Oh, it's okay. You know, I didn't log that 5 minutes. I didn't log that 3 minutes. No problem. But at the end of the year, it adds up to something big. So what Billings Pro does first and foremost is creates a really easy method for one person or multiple people to enter their billable time quickly and in a way that doesn't get lost. So that's the first thing. It allows somebody to take all this billable information and easily be able to identify, you know, what was billable time that a lawyer spent on it and what was falls under disbursements and expenses. And then the final piece is to deliver a professional invoice with all the information that you need on it. You know, everything from potentially the retainer balance and retainer history to the previous balance owing to a proper breakdown of the charges and all the descriptions that go with the billable charges, which is pretty important. And finally, the total. You know, and if you want, separate it out by billable hours versus disbursements. Those are the most applicable features. They're not the only features Billings Pro has to offer, as it integrates with Daylight as well, and there's a lot of cool stuff. But those are the ones that are, I think, the core, I guess.
Functionality, yeah.
Yeah, the core functionality for attorneys.
Great. All right. Well, I mean, thank you ever so much for being a part of the show today. I do appreciate it. Let our listeners know how they can reach you and how maybe they can take a peek at what Market Circle has to offer.
Awesome. Well, it was definitely a pleasure, Neil. I really appreciate being a guest. So the best way to reach us, I mean, I would say you can always go to our website, www.marketcircle.com. If you want to reach me, I do have Twitter. You can reach me at Amin Rahmani, which is AminRahmani. And otherwise, yeah, I guess those are the best ways.
Great. Well, as I mentioned in the intro here, I've known Amin for a long time, principally through what was then Milo Fest and now is MacTrack Legal, and our listeners know that history. Amin's a great guy. If you needed to get any questions asked about how you might implement Daylight in your law office, he's the guy to touch base with. So again, Amin, thanks ever so much for being a part of the Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Thanks. Such a pleasure, Neil, and same here.
So once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Spotlight Branding. As we mentioned, I trust them to manage my internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built, as you know, a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. And this helps me generate more referrals and more business for my firm. Their services are designed to help lawyers get better results out of the resources they're already investing into marketing and business development. And they use the internet foundation that makes all of your marketing work better. And that's because these days, almost every potential client is going to check out your web presence before they hire you. And it's important that you create a strong first impression. And that's what Spotlight Branding has done for me, and they can do it for you too. So visit Spotlight Branding at spotlightbranding.com to learn more. And they even are offering a free gift for Law Entrepreneur Podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So please feel free to contact Mark Seneglia at Spotlight Branding. Really good guy. Maybe sign up for their newsletter, which is very informative, has lots of good information, whether you choose to use their product or not. I think you'll get a lot out of their newsletter. And support Spotlight Branding, because they do an awful lot to support us. And with that, I'd like to thank you again for listening to The Law Entrepreneur. Be sure to visit us at www.thelawentrepreneur.com. Sign up for our mailing list, join our Facebook group, do all the things to connect with this group of folks that have been so kind to support this podcast. And I hope to see you back again here next week for The Law Entrepreneur.